What you missed on Midday with Howie Lim on Money FM 89.3.
This is Money FM 89.3, Singapore's first business and personal finance radio station. And today we're getting some insights into how the other side lives. High net worth individuals in Asia are increasing their interest in investing in emerging tech. But why are traditional asset classes not as attractive anymore? Also, when it comes to investing in startups and emerging tech, for example, blockchain, electric vehicles, machine learning, what is the high net worth individual's approach? How much of this interest has to do with preserving assets for their next generation? To give us his insight is Bao Vu, Director of R.E. Lee Capital Investment. Bao Vu, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Hi, this is Bao. We are basically an asset management firm based here in Singapore. We have a CMS license and we cater specifically to Asian high net worth clients and specifically Asian business families.
And it's been about a year since this incarnation of R.E. Lee Capital Investment was set up.
It's been a little less than a year.
Okay.
However, our parent company has been involved with high net worth individuals for over 60 years through estate planning and wealth management.
Today, we're talking about the intergenerational wealth transfers, what the sort of older generation, if you will, is doing to help the younger generation of their family preserve the wealth, obviously, and grow it, of course. Help us define that, though.
Yeah, so very broadly, intergenerational wealth transfer is just the transfer of one asset to, from one generation to the next. You know, it could be a pair of shoes, it could be, a wedding ring, it could be a property. But in the context of Asian business families, it's typically entire businesses or entire businesses lines. So, it's slightly different depending on the context.
And it's before the first generation passes away.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Typically, especially with Asians, they live quite a long time, as you see. If you sort of take a look at the news, you can see sort of this wealth transfer or this passing of the torch, if you will.
Having the next generation take
exactly,
over.
Exactly. Yeah. So you see it, in Li Ka-shing has announced his retirement. You also have Stanley Ho announcing his retirement. So it's a trend that we're seeing across the space, across all regions in Asia.
Yeah. Why, though, an increase in intergenerational wealth transfers, accelerating investments in startups and emerging techs? Is it just trendy at this point, because so much of that?
I don't think it's trendy. I think the main issue is basically the older generation are sort of set in their ways. They've got traditional businesses that they've been very successful building. They don't necessarily want to take on additional or new viewpoints. Once sort of the handover happens, then typically the second generation wants to make their mark. And they happen to be very open to the idea of alternative investments. They happen to be open to the idea of startups and bringing new sort of tech into traditional business.
Have, though, these new changing technologies and up-and-coming disruptive technologies sort of affected the traditional business that the first generation built?
Absolutely. When you take a look at how disruptive technology has been in the past decade or so, you have the way people communicate being disrupted by Facebook. You have the way people are, how they shop is getting disrupted by Amazon. So, it's disrupting businesses across a wide spectrum in media as well as retail, and it's affecting our clients' business, very frankly.
How is it affecting you guys over at R.E. Lee Capital Investment? You've got to keep your eye on what's new and whether or not it's feasible, because you're not just, okay, you want to invest in that, I'll do it for you. You're in an advisory role as well. Is it a good idea for these high net worth individuals to be investing in certain types of things?
Correct. So we tend to take a very prudent approach to it. We tend to take the lowest risk sort of way to invest in startups. So for our specific clients, we tend to recommend businesses that they're already in. For example, one of the things, one of our clients is a Thai conglomerate, but they happen to have a real estate development business. So our suggestion to them was to essentially find smart building products that they could use in their real estate development business, right? So essentially
AR
they can,
and VR almost. As an example,
that's one example. One other big example is smart lighting. So putting smart lighting throughout the building, energy management systems, energy management analytics.
And is this trend just in Asia, or how does it compare with other regions?
I think, you know, each region sort of has its own flavor of it. I think in the U.S. it tends to be a little more formalized, the VC investing process. So they'll have an entire VC ecosystem where a startup, you know, starts from birth to IPO. Here in Asia, I think it tends to be a little more ad hoc, and it tends to be a little lower risk in the ways that I mentioned before.
Give us a couple more examples as to where they're looking into. I mean, startups and tech companies, they're a dime a dozen, dare I say, at this point, so many of them. How do they decide which ones they want to invest in?
Yeah,
I know low risk is one of the factors.
Low risk way to do it. Overlapping businesses is a huge factor. We had basically a retail company wanting to take a look at technologies that they could essentially leverage across the platform. One of the things they took a look at was a video analytics company, which analyzes all the closed circuit video that they had and determines consumer behavior. It can tell, you know, what customers are looking at, what demographic they are, whether they're happy or sad. It's really sort of interesting technology for retail, business.
And the purpose for investing, are there different goals for different sort of high net worth individuals? Is it always just to give the startup a leg up, or are they looking at profitability at some point, I'm sure?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, they're looking for a viable product. So one thing that's sort of lacking in traditional businesses is an engine for innovation, new sort of products that they can sort of push through their pipeline. I think startups are a good way to do that. They're relatively low cost. And once they have a viable product, they don't necessarily have to have sales because the sales are taken care of by the distribution network of the conglomerate or of the existing businesses.
What does RE Lee Capital expect the next investment trend to be, Bavu?
I think there's several trends we could talk about. One trend is obviously alternative investments. So if you take a look at traditional investments, stocks and bonds, for example.
Real estate, maybe.
Maybe real estate also. Stocks and bonds tend to be a little bit frothy. I mean, anybody you talk to takes a look at the 9-year bull run that we've had in stocks, takes a look at the 30-year bull run that we have in bonds and say, you know, maybe it's not the time to sort of call, put additional capital work. And property in some sense, maybe not in Singapore because it's had such a bad run in the past 3 or 4 years and is starting to get its legs, but certainly property markets in other places have had a really, really good run. So getting out of these traditional assets, well, not necessarily getting out, but not allocating
Let's
additional
diversify.
Capital. Exactly. So we're taking a look at a number of alternative investments, hedge funds. We're launching a hedge fund in a couple months, to invest in equity. But the discriminating factor about it is that it uses AI to essentially make investment decisions rather than humans.
But those are still the staples, though, in terms of investing for the high net worth individual here in Asia, the ones that you mentioned, despite the fact that
absolutely.
And maybe a bull run could end, at some point.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't think we're saying to basically, cut back on all the traditional investments. What we're saying is not to add so much. It could be a 70% allocation versus an 80% allocation, right? Trim back a little on frothy markets. Buy into uncorrelated assets, whether it be hedge funds, whether it be, direct investment startups, whatever it is, a bull market can come to an end pretty quickly.
In this line of work, Bavu, what keeps you up at night?
It used to be North Korea, but now it's looking like that situation is
resolving itself to some degree.
They're even talking about a Nobel Peace Prize for Donald Trump, which is like
big question mark, but
a very big question mark. I think now it's much more watching rates because I think we're probably at the cusp of a point where rates are going to rise much faster than people anticipate, and a lot of people aren't prepared for it. Right, they're leveraging up on property, for example, with floating rate loans.
Sort of property, though? Just residential? Commercial, maybe?
Commercial, especially commercial in the U.S., is probably looking a little shaky given the effect that Amazon has had in the past decade or so. So what I would say is prepare for a rising rate environment, whether it's getting out of bonds or reducing your allocation in bonds or getting out of leverage positions where you have floating rate debt.
I don't know if you're aware, there is a film that's coming out from Hollywood called Crazy Rich Asians.
So I've heard that.
I'm going to put you in the spot. Are they crazy, these rich Asians?
I don't think they're any crazier than the rest of us. When I took a look, so I took a look at the trailer, over the weekend, and Michelle Yeoh actually reminded me of like my own mother. She's a bit.
They're proper.
Yeah, exactly. Except my mom really isn't that rich. So,
so it's sort of like we're all crazy, not just the Asians that are rich.
I think maybe in our own way, and I think obviously they're taking a huge license to exaggerate some of the behaviors just for entertainment purposes, right?
Bavu is director of RE Lee Capital Investment. You can check them out, releecapital.com, releecapital.com. Bavu, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Howie.